and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jim got his pants back on. Another hijink gone awry. Another prank. Another antic. Okay.
You already cut my hair.
I did a bad job.
You're the victim of a Mitt Romney prank.
Yeah.
All right. 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. 1-800.
There's the president with his fancy movie star. People
he
with
raised
the fancy
$15 million.
Dinners in his fancy airplane. Who's he think he is, anyway?
I had a party last weekend, as you know, and I didn't get one thin dime from those cheap bastards at Current or you people.
You got guacamole?
I got nothing.
You got guacamole?
I raised nothing.
You got guacamole.
I'm not doing this party thing right. How do you raise $15 million? What the?
You have the Secret Service guarding the president who's at your house.
You know what I do have?
What?
I got a water skiing squirrel singing Happy Mother or Walking on Sunshine for Mother's Day.
That's cool.
That's a greeting card.
That's fantastic.
Because I'm a mom to Max and Fred, so I got a Mother's Day card from Steve in Minneapolis.
Nice.
Thanks, Steve. He'll be at Sexy Liberal tomorrow night. Sexy Liberal tomorrow night. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Hang on. Highstrom, Sexy Liberal tour director Roland says Minneapolis is almost sold out. That's Roland.
Yeah, he needs that like a hole in the head.
Oh, right? Wait a minute.
He already has that. By the way, don't point and laugh at his bad haircut, because they had to shave over where the hole is.
It's not a Mitt Romney prank. He actually had a piece of a building fall.
Maybe I'll give him a bad haircut on stage as part of a...
I'm sure he'll
really
appreciate
teabagging,
that.
We'll do a Mitt Romney prank. There are only six VIP tickets left. Oh, no. That's about it, and then just some scattered seats. But don't be afraid to get those singles, because a lot of people picking up a lot of Sexy Liberal Strange at Sexy Liberal.
And
saying.
Minneapolis has a lot of Sexy Liberal Strange.
And also, get kids screaming ready. This is very exciting. Students with a student ID is starting at 12 noon tomorrow at the box office. There will be a student rush for $20.
Cool.
We opened up a part of the mezzanine we weren't using because they got so many student requests. Again, 12 noon, first come, first serve tomorrow at the box office. Yeah, get it. All right. So, very exciting.
You know, if you do hack off Roland's hair, it'll probably end up matching the...
Right.
Yeah.
It would be a love prank.
Yeah.
It would be a sexy liberal prank, not a right-wing bullying prank.
Yeah.
Okay. How about...
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
God.
That's assault.
That's not
a prank. That's an assault.
I had not gotten through the whole story yesterday, so I didn't want to just talk about it out of my ass like I normally do.
It's just how he's lying about it.
Yeah.
Yes!
And
like
he's
everything
such a
else.
Bad liar.
I don't remember it, but... I apologize if anybody was offended by my assault.
I don't remember doing it, but I know that he wasn't gay. That's not why I did it.
No, he didn't use the word gay. He used the word homosexual.
By the way, Chris says is a right-wing thing to dehumanize people.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. They don't use the term gay because...
Gay sounds too happy.
Yeah.
That sounds too fun.
Yeah. Homosexual sounds clinical and like they're an other.
Homosexual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Homo. Yeah, even that was so douchey. I don't know why. I had no idea the fellow was a homosexual. Why? We didn't have those in the
60s. No, that didn't exist back then.
Oh, that would have just been awkward. Yeah,
wow.
That's the thing that struck me is, first of all, like all of these guys cooperated in the Washington. They all remembered it. It was so vivid, including, obviously, the guy it happened to. And really? You just happened to magically have no memory of any of it. However, I mean... First of all, then, like, his spokesperson says, oh, well, it seems exaggerated, but he doesn't remember any... It's like, oh, I'm sorry, was it exaggerated, or he doesn't remember it happening at all?
Yeah.
I mean, it just was...
He remembered that he didn't think the guy was gay or homosexual, but...
Yeah.
And he didn't... I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Tell me it happened, but I...
Because I know when I first heard about it, I was like, oh, in high school, like... But when you read it, you realize, like, first of all... Writing discrimination into our Constitution is bullying.
That's right.
Saying gay people should not even be allowed to have civil unions is bullying. You know, in some ways, you go, his policies, if you read the Village Voice article about what he did at Bain, it's bullying.
Yep, exactly.
It's bullying companies, you know?
Yeah. It's bullying on a huge scale with international consequences.
Yeah, and if you read the whole Washington Post article, the main thing you got, Jim, is what a... Rich douche nozzle.
Yeah.
there was one line in there that stuck in my head about it, because, you know, some kids were on scholarships and they weren't, you know, of the same means
right.
as kids like Romney. And he was talking to one kid who found out his father was a teacher or something, and he, you know, lived on the whatever bad side of Detroit, and he said he seemed to grow visibly sort of disgusted almost, and you think that's the theme of it. Mitt Romney doesn't like anyone that's not just like him.
Right.
He doesn't
right.
like, you know.
He enjoys firing people.
Right.
I mean, that's
and play,
just a matter
does it
of
pass
character.
The smell test? I don't care what decade you grew up in, to not know this kid was gay.
Right.
That has been around since time in memoriam. He's the kid that's different. He's the kid that gets mocked.
Right.
Whatever words
he's
you use.
He's the weak
whatever,
kid.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's what bullying is, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do they know for a fact that they ever see him with another guy?
No.
No, but that's not the point. It's that he was the one they targeted as different and probably gay. And you know, if you've been to school anywhere in the history of anything, you know which kid that is
yep.
in your class, and you know what the thing was always gay. Whether
mm-hmm.
they were or not, it was like, oh, our era was femme. That was the one. Do you remember that?
No,
that's only
femme.
That's only
he's
your,
a femme.
I think that was a Western New York thing.
Probably.
Yeah.
It was brought on by Jenny Cremail. It was fueled
probably,
by
yeah.
and Niagara ice wine.
And
but, Niagara? No, not ice wine. Just
oh.
Niagara wine.
Oh, okay.
Lake Niagara wine.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It still had toenails in it from Grape Stomper. It was really nasty. It was stuff on the bottom
yeah,
of Lake Niagara.
Yeah.
All right.
But now, you know, of course, yeah. that's why probably 99% of gym memberships are gay guys.
Yeah, I will.
You got something to say to me, pal?
I will you up. They're ready for you now.
I don't know. I like your hair just the way it is. I don't like firing people. I just made it up.
Uh-huh.
I gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, how brave would Romney have been without his quote-unquote posse behind
right,
him,
yeah.
you know? And it's even like you can tell the original apology on Brian Kilmeade show, he's laughing.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know. And then it's like he realized as people really thought this was awful, then he gets more serious, like, oh, well, I certainly don't.
Oh, well, I certainly don't. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. For amber waves of grain. Oh,
that was the most appalling thing in the story. He sang in the choir with that voice?
Yeah.
Or sang in choir, whatever it was.
For
and he was a cheerleader, like George Bush.
Majesty.
Oh, God.
How about the fruited plain?
Yep. He sings like a 45 without the...
without the spindle.
The not the yeah.
Thing in the middle.
Spindle
stylus.
Adapter.
Spindle
something.
Adapter.
Right.
Gizmo.
Okay, mittens yesterday.
I played a lot of pranks in high school. And they described some that, well, you just say to yourself that back in high school, you know, I did some, dumb things, and if anybody was hurt by that or offended, why, obviously, I apologize.
If anybody was offended, see, there you go, Jim,
yeah.
the passive, right?
If you were stupid enough to be
if
offended by
if some femme with dyed hair was offended that I held him down while he cried and chopped his hair off, even the guys involved in it felt bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that the funny thing is you go, all of them remember it so vividly mm-hmm. and felt bad years later.
Yeah.
One of them apologized to the guy mm-hmm. that they did it to that he ran into in the airport bar years
yeah.
later. I mean, it,
well, and also, if someone's coming at you with scissors.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know
yeah.
when he just wants to
that's
cut your
frightening.
Hair.
That's frightening.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
And did you see that the Romney campaign is trying to get a hold of all of these people to get a statement of support for Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
And they were like, no.
Yeah.
No, this was awful.
Yeah, I know so far. That's what I mean. Everybody involved corroborated.
Yeah.
It's Romney, yesterday.
I certainly don't believe that I, or I can't speak for other people, of course, but thought the fellow was homosexual. That was the furthest thing from my mind back in the 1960s.
Sure.
Yes, no one made fun of
homosexual.
The 60s. We didn't have that.
Good heavens.
Why, in the 60s, no. It was like Iran. We didn't have those. I don't. What?
What?
I mean, but how stark is it on the day? I mean, literally, the story breaks on the day after the president affirms marriage equality. I mean, could the contrast be any.
Yeah. I mean, just a matter of character.
Thank you. What did I just say before he got here? I already did my first American president quote. This job is entirely about character.
Yeah.
And that's all it goes to. It's just, but like I'm saying, it's policies all the way up till today.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know if you saw this one. This stuff is starting to come out that they've unearthed. Boston Globe stuff from back when he was running. Blah, blah, blah. Boston, before he was during, first of all, flip-floppy. During the 1994 senatorial run, he pledged to make equalities for gays and lesbians a mainstream concern. 8 years later, during his 2002 run for governor, Romney took a similarly progressive position. He proclaimed all citizens deserve equal rights regardless of sexual preference. Remember the thing he slipped and said yesterday about, well, I've always had that position, well, at least as long as I've been, you know, running for office.
No.
I'm running for office, for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake. I can't have opinions.
But then you look at this story in the Post about what a bully he was in high school. And by the way, it wasn't just this kid, right? He said at a girl at this boy that was also perceived to be gay in another one of his class. Oh, how about the walking a blind teacher into a door?
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah. What decade isn't that funny in?
Oh, look, he broke his nose.
More evidence of preying upon perceived weaker than him.
Yeah. That's what he did at Bain Capital.
Yes.
Anyway, this from the Boston Globe.
And that's what he would do as president.
Thank you. Prior to Romney, well, although you said yesterday, you just got to pick what state you get beat up in.
Yeah.
You will get beat up.
Yeah.
If I'm president. Just pick a good state.
Oh, you're in the wrong state, my friend.
Prior to Romney's unsuccessful senatorial run, his beliefs about gays were pretty kindly not so magnanimous. According to Boston Globe articles in the mid-90s, just before launching his Senate run, Romney told an audience of Mormon church members that homosexuality was perverse and reprehensible.
Uh-huh.
He said he was appalled at the incidence of homosexuals in the congregation, said a Mormon who was there. He went on to say that he found homosexuality both perverse and reprehensible. Romney denied the veracity of the comments, as usual.
Sure, of course.
But the account was confirmed by three other attendees. Said a fourth person, he started going on about being upset about homosexuality in this ward. I remember him calling it a sickness and a perversion.
Uh-huh.
You know, so...
Well, how's he feel about blindness?
You know, if you're a bully, it seems it doesn't get better.
Nope.
Unfortunately. See what I did there? See, I took the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was for you, Dan Savage.
Didn't we have that idea? I think Hal and I, we want to do a It Doesn't Get Better video for old homophobes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He's got all that money and he's famous.
All the gay guys are shoved into the blockers they own, like movie studios and crap. I blew up a crystal meth lab in my pants this morning. It doesn't get better. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Off to a rollicking. Oh, Friday's with Yugo saying he will join us in about a half an hour.
That's right.
For the last 2 hours of the show as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, Wang Chung.
Yeah, everybody, do it, Wang Chung.
Do it.
Do it. It is the 70 Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. It's okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. It's Friday.
Calm down.
It's Friday, and I am...
drunk.
Yes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. What is it, like, just open season now on homophobic bullying? What did Geraldo say? When he went through the TSA manually...
Yeah. He said he went through the TSA guy. He got manually raped by a guy, and he was getting off on it.
Oh. Okay, let's
the,
point
the
out...
The guy was getting it off.
Let's point out something first. You are Geraldo.
Right.
Nobody is getting on you. And you have a gay porn mustache. All right, let's... Let's stop. Okay, so I was asking, I forgot the name of the school, the prep school.
The Cranbrook School.
Cranbrook.
Does that not sound like something out of the Archie comic books? The place Richie Rich went to or something?
Welcome Archie, to Archie and Richie Rich? I think you're mixing worlds here.
Yeah.
Okay, different comic.
Yeah.
Wherever the snooty rich kid went. Welcome to Cranbrook. Okay.
And then Aquaman said, no.
That's a different comic strip entirely. And then Captain America, what? Okay. All right. Talking about Mitt Romney, he offered a qualified apology, one of those, you know, non-apologies.
Yeah.
If someone was offended by my homophobic bullying, he did some pranks and antics. What else did he call them? Hijinks.
Hijinks.
Hijinks. Uh-huh. I think they're pretty low jinks, actually.
I think it's more assault than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Well, it's no doubt that he's a bully and a liar. But the thing that I'm amazed nobody is picking up on is that that article also talked about him dressing like a cop and pulling over some friends. Thought that imitating a cop was against the law.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. Steve.
If Obama had done that, can you imagine the hue and cry from the Republican Party about
right.
it?
Yeah, and Steve, the other part of that is that, you know, that was another story where the girl was terrified and crying. And, you know,
it was like an ex-girlfriend of his, wasn't it?
This is why I hate prank humor. It's just so mean-spirited and, you know. And by the way,
hey,
I got...
here's a gun to your head. You don't know if it's loaded. I know.
See why that's funny?
Yeah.
It seems to people that are not capable of any sort of higher form of humor that are into
they're, well, they're incapable of empathy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can't understand humor.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, because, you know, you go, is that the case with Romney? Does he really not remember this? Is he that just sort of, you know, I don't know what the word would even be, sociopathic or something?
Maybe
that he did that stuff all the time, and
maybe
I'm like,
yeah, he did it so often that, you know, this particular incident may have, you know, escaped him because it's in amongst a whole bunch
Although
of others.
Although it seems horrifying to the other normal humans involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Mitt Romney's...
Wasn't a big deal to him.
No. It's just called that it was just Tuesday to him. Yeah, well, we were saying, too, like, it doesn't matter what era it's in, you know, it's whoever was perceived as different. That's what bullying is.
Or weaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in many cases, like, you know, some people that will go unnamed, they got beat up and pushed through the bushes in front of the Y. After St. Mary's when I was in fifth grade. What my point is, I turned out to be gay later, didn't know then. A lot of times people that are perceived are different because they are, is what I'm saying. People get bullied for the perception of being gay when they're not, for the perception of being different in any way, you know?
Oh, sure.
And then you grow up and you form a little island of misfit toys like this show. Okay, let's go to Stephanie in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. It's cold in Illinois. Got to wear pants today. Sorry.
All right.
Well, you know what? Did anybody ever ask, and people don't realize how odd the touch he is, he doesn't even know Oldsmobile, been out of business since 2004. Did he get punished for this? It seems like that whatever he did, maybe Daddy Rich's money got him out of being punished, because that should have been a punishable offense.
Well, you know, that's...
The reason he kept doing it, because he never got punished.
Yeah, Steph, that's the other thing. You know, it's the typical rich kid gets away with it story, because even one of the guys involved, his friend said... I didn't talk to him about it because I, you know, I
Well,
thought,
because
oh my God,
Daddy's the governor.
Yeah, he's going to get punished. And then if he's like, yeah, no, nothing happened.
Yeah, because Daddy's the governor.
Yeah. Deborah, it's like that whole Saturday Night Live sketch when the Secret Service people are beating up the other classmates of Amy Carter's.
Yeah.
Shoving their heads in the desk.
Yeah.
Deborah in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Deb.
Good morning. It's warm enough to wear, it's warm enough not to wear pants here. But
awesome, awesome.
There's people that want to give Romney a pass because who wants to be held responsible for what you did in high school?
Right.
And they're trying to claim that it would be the same thing as blaming the president for what happened when he was six. Well, there's a real big difference between being six and being 18.
Yep.
And you know the difference between right and wrong at 18.
Yeah.
If you don't, there's a problem.
Well,
the other thing
is, Deborah, is like I was saying, his policies are homophobic bullying. So there is a through line that I think does make it relevant. It also is about character.
Yeah, big time. But I have a question to ask. What was the timeline to right after he got out of high school when he went to France on his Mormon mission? Then he's supposed to be being a good Christian person.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do what you do at 18 with this poor kid in high school and then go over to France and proclaim yourself some kind of holy roller person that needs to be kept out of the Vietnam War?
Yeah, and imagine how appalled he was at the haircuts over there, the berets and whatnot. Can you believe that? Who talks like that? I look at that. That's just wrong. That's all. What? Someone else's haircut? That's just appalling. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To say this about
Stephanie Miller,
but I think she's crazy.
Chuck, your point
is news?
Your point is what? 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Wow, and now here is Mitt Romney bullying a reporter.
Aren't there issues of significance that you'd like to talk about?
This is a significant issue in Colorado.
The economy, the growth of jobs.
I will just tell you what issues you can ask me about, and you will just do it.
Don't ask me that. Don't ask me that. Don't ask
the
me
help
that.
Never talks to me this way. Certainly not a
you
Cranbrook.
You should know your place. The Cranbrook.
Sharon.
Good heavens.
Good heavens. Sharon in Miami. Hi,
I
Sharon.
I think I'm going to give you a haircut.
Hello. How are you?
Hi.
I was calling because I was extremely proud of my daughter and just those of her age group. She's 20 and she's home from college. And we had dinner last night with my kids and my parents. And I said, oh, did you hear the president came out in favor of same-sex marriage? And she just looked at me like it's just a non-issue for her.
She
grew up, you know, it was no big deal. She had friends who were straight, friends who were gay. And
right.
And my mom and I were all very liberal. So my mom and I were trying to explain, you know, why this is...
Yeah, that's, you know what, and Sharon, isn't that the biggest deal, is that we have to explain to them why it's a big deal?
Yeah.
This
is
right.
This is, I look forward to us becoming even older and more crotchety. Kids going, why are you even talking about this? Was it ever different? God, you old people, whatever.
That's driving Republicans crazy, though, that there's this lack of outrage about homosexuality.
Yes.
It's like,
amongst the youngsters.
You crank up the fake outrage
machine
to 11.
You have to hate these people. Not those people. These people.
Yeah.
You kids and your rock and roll 8-track tapes.
Yeah, this is going to give whole new meaning if we, God forbid, have a President Romney and he tells the unions they have to get a haircut. You know what I'm saying? You guys are going to have to take a haircut if we're going to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, literally. His original apology to, or whatever, to, apology?
Brian Kilmeade?
First of all, that's the first thing they arrange quickly is, oh, this could be bad. Let's call Brian Kilmeade.
And he has a radio show where?
On somebody's fillings.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere. But Chris, as you said, these are not pranks. They're not hijinks. They're not dumb things.
They're assaults.
It's assault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even the people involved, that helped him said,
this was
vicious, this was, you know, horrifying, this was really, you know.
The high school classmate says here, told ABC News that he considers that particular prank assault and battery. And,
fact that they actually cut his hair, hacked off pieces of his hair.
Yeah, and as you said, Jim, that could have easily, gone awry.
Yeah,
if you're near someone's face and eyes, scissors
are potential weapon.
There's a bunch of guys wrestling around trying to hold him down.
Yeah,
I mean,
a mob holding you down.
Yeah.
Five classmates described to the Washington Post on record the incident. John Lauber is the student. According to their account, even the beginning of this. Romney mocked the student's long blonde hair, recalling he once said, he can't look like that. That's wrong. Just look at him. Who, seriously? Who gets exercised about someone else's hair?
Wow.
Before chasing him, pinning him to the ground, cutting his hair as Lauber screamed for help. It doesn't matter is like what era you're talking about. He's just full of.
Yeah.
You can't. Nothing he says passes the smell test, whether I rescued the audio industry or I don't recall that. And why homosexual? Why? We had no idea about those things in the 60s. Oh, please. You know,
that's bull crap right there.
Yeah. Other students who were involved told the Post they've been haunted by Lauber's abuse decades after the fact. Romney just said, I don't remember that incident.
But I do remember that I didn't think he was gay at the time.
Yes, I do.
That's where
my friend Trish was over yesterday. She's like, oh, he's like, what? Then how did he know he was gay if he doesn't remember this at all?
He can't get his lies straight.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you want to be a liar.
I do remember that it could not have been gay bashing because he wasn't gay. The guy I don't remember from the incident. I don't recall. Oops.
I do know it wasn't assault. I don't recall it at all, but...
Even his spokeswoman earlier told the Post Romney had no recollection of the incidents in question, which she said seemed exaggerated. So the events that didn't happen, that he doesn't recall, seem exaggerated.
The Washington Post talked to three different people who were involved in that incident, and they got the exact same story from all three of them independently.
Right.
So, yes, that tells
Romney
me...
had three different stories.
Yeah. That tells me that the incident did occur as reported.
Yeah. I don't recall. Okay, how convenient.
I don't recall when I did that, but when I did, if I did, then...
Jay in Sacramento on the on Romney's memory loss. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Stephanie. I love your show.
I love you back.
I just have a suggestion. Since Mr. Romney has a selective memory loss, how about we get about 10 log cabin Republicans to show up wearing that same haircut?
Yes.
And
there
just standing there.
Preferably
and
Marines.
Then we can all watch on national TV while Mitt Romney has an existential meltdown. All of a sudden, his memory comes back, and he says, I give up. He can have it.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that?
There you go. All right. By the way, I mean, the other thing is just, as I was saying, it wouldn't be as relevant if it didn't, their policies weren't also bullying. Mm-hmm. You know, top Romney advisor will campaign on constitutional marriage ban. Writing discrimination into our Constitution, really? That's not bullying. And then, yeah, and then, of course, the House, what did they do? Immediately reacted to the president's coming out for marriage equality by two bullying. Cutting off funding for DOMA. What else was the other thing they did yesterday?
They affirmed their support for the Defense of Marriage Act. I think. Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Shameful.
Yeah.
Absolutely shameful.
Mark in Boston. Hey, Mark. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Steph. I love you.
I love you, too.
I just want to say that, you know, the gay thing and all this stuff from Romney, you know, this is like bad campaign management. Why hasn't someone in his campaign said to him, you know, this is how you handle this, man? You say, wow, you know, I do remember that. That was really bad. I did some bad things in my life. But, you know, through my religion, I've learned that that's the wrong thing to do. And, you know, so his campaign people are either stupid or they're trying to send this subtle message of it's okay to bully. Because, you know, I can't think of anything else that's going on. I mean, why is this thing?
You know, Mark, I think that's a really good point, too. And you realize the way they reacted to this? That surely must be true. They obviously panicked. They called Brian Kilmeade immediately. Like, this obviously, you know, you're absolutely right. They knew that this was a damning story. And rather than, as he just suggested, saying, you know, yeah, that happened and I've really grown and changed since then or whatever. But, you know, you just, this is how he responds to everything. He lies. Mm-hmm. He, you know, equivocates.
And then lies about the lie he just told.
Yes. All right.
And comes up with a third version of what he just said.
Margo in Raleigh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Margo.
Hi, Stephanie. I just love your show. I just found you, and it's great.
Thank you.
Yesterday on Hannity, he was saying, and this is the new right-wing thing, that in Obama's book, the first one, he wrote about something he did to a girl that he dated. And, I mean, it was a pushing kind of thing. And therefore...
Oh, God, here we go.
For being hypocritical. What they don't get is that... Obama has a conscience, and as an adult, he remembered doing it, and he wanted to confess to it and show that what he did was something
right,
wrong.
Right, Margo, and he, first of all, he wrote about it himself.
Right.
He wrote about it
believe
himself.
That Romney doesn't remember this because he has no conscience.
Right.
And people with no conscience do all sorts of bad things and don't remember.
Well, and that's the thing, is that here they go again, the false equivalence game they play every single time, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the reasons that we lost the election here so badly is because they did it in a primary election, and they did that on purpose. Because people who, if they were there to vote for something and saw the amendment, would vote against it, but didn't care enough to actually get themselves out to go vote, they did that on purpose.
Yeah, you know, Margo, I had heard that. That's absolutely true, is that it's going to activate the people that are really active about that issue, meaning the, you know, the the anti...
We have, like where I am, I know of three Baptist churches in my area that have been marrying gays for 20 years, and there are many more churches. So it's not even, there are many religions here, many churches who support gay marriage, gay rights, and welcome gays into their heterosexual congregations. And
I think those churches need a haircut.
Yeah. Margo, and I think you're right. Had it been, let's say, the same turnout that turned out for President Obama in the last presidential election and this was on the ballot, you know, I think you're right. The results may well have been different.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. All right.
And that's why this is also very savvy politically, because the youth votes really don't give a damn about
Obama. Oh, God, primary. I mean, not in midterms.
And I think it's going to re-energize the people who put him in office
place. They have awoken the sleeping giant. Okay, let's go to I'm too tired to do my regular evil laugh. All right, thank you.
All right.
Gene in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gene.
Morning, Steph. I have so much to say. First of all, I wish that if you can, Chris would load up the video clip of the audio that you just played where he said, don't you have something significant to talk about? Because he looks so rageful. This is a rageful man,
mm-hmm.
and he looks like he's going to lunge at that woman. And then at the very end, he looks like he's trying to compose himself, but mm-hmm. he's still reaching out and trying to grab at her. It's very, very telling to see it as opposed mm-hmm. to hearing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's what we saw in the some of the debates when he started to get angry. I mean, you know, first of all, the coronation is taking entirely too long for his taste.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear just him say, it's my turn, or Ann Romney say, it's our turn, I mean, and you read this whole Washington Post piece, and you get this sense of entitlement since he was, you know, yay high, right?
Yep, and I want to say two other things. When I was in grade school in the 60s in Oklahoma, which is 20 years behind everybody else, the worst thing you could do was call a kid a fag or queer. And when he says that you just didn't talk about those things back then,
oh, please.
He's a liar.
Well, yeah. You know, Gene, look, you know, we all recognize bullying, and yes, it's taken different forms, and obviously now it's gone into social media and online, as you know, as we've generations have evolved. But you're right, bullying is bullying mm-hmm. is bullying, and we all recognize it no matter when we grew mm-hmm. up, right?
Yes, and the last thing I want to say is I have a young person in my life who's 18 years old. He's Mormon. He lives in Utah, and he accompanied a friend who's gay to the prom so the kid wouldn't get bullied, even though
wow.
he knew he'd get bullied too. Yeah,
wow.
There are people out there who get the difference between their own religious beliefs and how you treat other human beings in a civil society.
Well, and Gene, the other thing, you know, again, doesn't pass the smell test, is everyone in this story said this was the kid that everybody talked about as he's mm-hmm. the gay kid,
yep.
and here's Romney again going, oh, why, we had no idea, no one, you know, it's just nothing he says passes the smell test.
Never happened in the 60s.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
He has no character.
All right, thank you. And by the way, this job is entirely about character. Have I mentioned that? If you're going to be an American president, this job is not just partially about character. This job is entirely about character.
And sand.
I'm Andrew Shepherd, and I'm running for...
And leadership.
Yes. All right.
And sand.
It's always about sand.
No.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back. More
inconceivable.
It's a Friday show on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oi, oi, oi. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. You know, we should do our show from the San Diego Jew sometime. Oi. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere to join the party. This hour brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Make the most of your color with the very best paint. Ask Sherwin-Williams, won't you? All right. Oh, there's another Mitt Romney rich douche story that we missed. He said, what did he say, Chris?
He was on Neil Cavuto yesterday, and he said, does it bug you that you're portrayed as not hip, that you can't sing? And he said, well, I can sing. I'll do a sing-off with President Obama. And then,
God,
yeah.
Please.
And then he said, I don't think I'll play the president a round of golf, but I will take him to a water ski course.
Rich horse guy, horse face laugh.
Water ski course?
Who doesn't have a boat, Jim?
Well, maybe okay. Go windsurfing like John Kerry.
Yes, okay then. Wow. Let's go to Denny in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Denny.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
It's a good thing Romney isn't Amish, because there's an Amish gang in jail right now for hair cutting.
Oh, that's right.
This is not just assault. This is a hate crime.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. By the way, Chris, you were right about this. The Romney camp has approached one of Mitt Romney's closest high school friends and asked him to give supporting remarks about Romney after the Washington Post story about the bullying incident. The friend, Stu White, told ABC he's still deciding whether he'll help the campaign. He was not present at the specific incident that took place. So, you know, first of all, that would be of limited value, right, Jim? It's like, oh, well, this is what Mittens told me. Okay. Let's go to Jan in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jan.
Hey, Steph. Hi, guys. Love
Hi.
Y'all. Another assignment for Chris. Chris, if you could look up, in the last couple of weeks, Romney was interviewed by one of the major networks, and the person asked him, he and his wife, well, would you go to the dog situation, that abuse, that's animal abuse. But
right.
Anyway, they asked him, well, looking back, would you have done the same thing? Something to that effect. And he looked at him and he did the Jim Ward laugh. And well, no, given all the controversy it's caused, I guess not. Oh,
Jen, I hadn't even thought, I had not even brought that up. You're the smartest girl in class this morning. You're right. The dog incident, I hadn't even thought of it. Same thing. It's bullying. Animal bullying.
He could have said, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, right? But no, and he probably was abusing animals as a child. And don't overlook it. You guys stay on the case, because kids who get away with abusing animals as kids, they grow up to be, slashers as adults, right? So he don't cut them any slack.
Yeah, no, Jen,
Chris Wallace pointed out that was technically illegal in the state of Massachusetts at the time to put a dog at a kennel on top of your car.
And I know people can go, oh, like this incident or that incident, but you go, when you have a string of these, it does go to character, and it is bullying. By the way, now that we're on TV, people can see that. Don't talk to Chris. He's having a technical meltdown over there.
We're just hooking up with Madison.
Something's happening.
We're having some technical problems, but John Finkelstein will be joining us.
John Finkelstein will be joining us.
Please, if you're on the phone this morning, try not to bark orders at Chris. He's very stressed out. All right.
What?
So we were saying
the show back.
Not only starting from high school, the dog incident, all of that. If you look at a timeline bullying, this is adult bullying.
Yeah.
Top Romney advisor, we're going to campaign on constitutional marriage ban.
Right. Yeah, good luck with that.
Ed Gillespie said the campaign will make President Obama's support for marriage equality an issue in November. Of course you will, because that's what bullies do. And that Romney will actively push for a constitutional amendment to take away the rights of states to voluntarily extend marriage equality to same sex.
I thought they were for states' rights.
That's what I was going to say. That's a flip-flop from him saying, oh, well, it should be up to the states.
Up to the states.
Oh, except that I'm going to do a constitutional amendment that will,
got to keep the states from doing that. I hate the states.
God. Yeah, Romney has played up his pro-discrimination stand throughout his presidential campaign, boasting that he fought to take away marriage equality from a same-sex couple. He dug up an obscure 1913 law originally intended to limit interracial marriage to keep out-of-state couples from marrying in Massachusetts. On my watch, we fought hard and prevented Massachusetts from becoming the Las Vegas of gay marriage.
Oh, God.
And then I was saying we unearthed these stories today from the Boston Globe about his homophobic comments in front of a Mormon congregation. And by the way, Jim, like I said, same thing. He denied it back then. And several people that were in the congregation at the time confirmed it. The same thing, just deny.
I didn't say that.
Mm.
Those people weren't there.
By the way, did you see Boner dodge several questions on marriage in general?
Yeah.
Gillespie's
American people, jobs, bourbon.
Oh, God, I think he's a rich douche, too. I really can't believe this.
Americans care more about bourbon.
There is not enough bourbon in the world to get through this presidential cycle.
Romney's problem is he doesn't drink.
He said, a Romney advisor said this morning that they're going to make gay marriage a campaign issue. They're going to push for a constitutional amendment. Do you agree with that? I'm going to stay focused on jobs, Boner replied before abruptly leaving the stage.
I'm going to stay focused on jobs and bourbon.
And by the way, by staying focused on jobs, he means blocking all of President Obama's jobs bills. Yeah, that's what he means by that. And then the bullies in the House Republican bullies, looky what they did. I love Gawker's take on it, proving once again there's no day so historic it cannot be spoiled with partisan polery. The Republican partisan polery, I love it. The Republican-led House refused to let the tweet settle on President Obama's marriage equality support before moving on to hobble it with a measure ensuring the Justice Department could not actively oppose the Anti-Gay Defense of Marriage Act. The amendment prohibits the DOJ from using taxpayer dollars in any future fight against DOMA. I mean, really? You take a historic day like this, and just now we can't have nice things, you see?
Yeah.
Hmm. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Hi, Mark. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Oh, gosh. So many things. First of all, thank you very much for holding Mitt Romney up to the ridicule that he so richly deserves.
Thank you.
And I really do appreciate that because...
It's easy.
What you're saying is I deserve to be rich.
About 30 seconds, Mark. Go ahead.
All right, real quick. Just call me Mr. Mark. That's my official roadie name. Someday I'll call back and tell you a whole lot of different things about roadie life. And,
Awesome.
And so
10 seconds left.
So we'll talk again. One more thing, the definition of perfect pitch, that's when you throw an accordion in the dumpster, it lands right on the banjo.
Little zinger from Mark. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back. Right as with Bugle saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Pants Free Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
As far as you know.
Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. To SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Speaking of sexy liberals.
It's Fugle saying.
Yeah.
Good morning, children.
Live from Madison, Wisconsin, it's John Fuglesang. Hi, John Fuglesang.
Good morning, kids. How you doing?
Getting ready to do the big one-man show tonight?
It's very exciting. I'm at the historic Barrymore Theater and really thrilled to be back here in the land of Walker. It's great. Scott Walker is now collectively bargaining to keep his job with the people of Wisconsin. So it's a lot of fun to be back here. And they love you here, Steph. I only have audience because I told them that you were going to be part of the show, so I hope you don't mind.
Oh, goodness. Well, that was a great big lie. But you know what?
It's about the Catholic Church. It's what we do.
You could get a job in the Romney campaign. Now,
liars are people, my friends.
John Fuglesang, you'll be joining Aisha Tyler and I tomorrow night in Minneapolis. Yeah, baby.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
Yeah.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fuglesang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Because Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
Indeed, I do. And John Fuglesang almost sold out.
Really?
Actually, VIP may be gone now. There were only six tickets as of last hour. Let's see. Oh, students with a student ID starting at 12 noon tomorrow at the box office. There will be a student rush for $20. We're opening up some part of the mezzanine that's, I don't know. You know how that goes, John. That's never been used before. We have
it's
to do that.
It's never been used before. It hasn't been cleaned since 1970s when Ted Nugent played there.
It hasn't been opened up since Clara Bow played
yes,
there.
This
exactly.
is going to be a great show.
A lot of student requests. So, again, at 12 noon tomorrow, first come, first serve at the theater box office, $20 rush tickets. And there are a few tiny little scatter tickets. Don't be afraid to go alone. You'll meet other sexy liberals.
And you know what? It's me with Stephanie and Aisha. Come watch me strike out with both my co-stars.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know, it's a big, it's a love thing. John, I don't know if you, we've talked about, you know, there's a lot of Steph heads. There's people who have been to 5-6 shows all around the country.
Yeah, they think it's with the fluoride in the water causing all this.
I think so.
That's what Ron Paul's people say.
Yeah.
I believe there will be Steph head shirts available. In addition to boogity cheese hats and, in Minneapolis. But, yeah, we talked about part of the sexy liberal family, Ray and Bonnie, at our great sponsor, Mephisto Great Lakes in Chicago. Bonnie, you remember Bonnie and Ray came to the Chicago show, and Bonnie passed away last week. So this is how magical our friends and fans are. Ray wrote me, we wrote back and forth a lot last week, and he said, my daughter and her family live in St. Paul. They'll be at the show this Saturday. They have VIP tickets, and we'll introduce themselves. So Bonnie's daughter representing tomorrow night in Minneapolis.
Well, that's great. That's great. You know, last year when this tour began, it was really special from our first show in Madison, which was sponsored by 92.1 The Mic, where I'm broadcasting from right now. But really, the tour didn't turn into a monster until we got to Minneapolis. That was just an amazing, amazing show, and I'm so thrilled we're going back there.
Yep.
And, you know, Aisha's going to be great, and there's been just a little bit of news this week we can talk about.
Really? Yeah. Has anything happened? What's happened, John?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been near a TV, but I'm assuming something's happened this week.
By the way, speaking of which, Jim, here's the quote for you. Mm. Who said, while this may seem like an innocent prank to some, it was an act of torment against a child for being different. We expect the people we elect to be leaders in the charge against bullying so that all students are afforded the right to learn and grow in an environment free of fear. This incident calls into question whether Mitt Romney can be an advocate for the nation's most vulnerable children. Who said that?
Willard Romney.
No, that was a really bad guess. That would be Judy Shepard, mother of Matthew Shepard.
You were close, Jim.
Yeah.
John, you just joined the fray here, but I mean, that's what we were saying. This is not pranks. This is not antics. This is assault.
Yeah, it is assault, and this is why I've been saying for a long time we have to stop using the word bullying, because it trivializes the kind of abuse these kids actually go through. When you're talking about criminal harassment so severe it drives a kid to suicide, not in this case, thank God, but, you know, I don't think any of us should be judged by the worst thing we did in high school, because then we're all doomed, okay? We all did really crappy things to people who were vulnerable in high school. Teenagers are mean. It happens. I'm more concerned about how much Mitt Romney hates gay people now.
That's what I said. Mm-hmm. If his policies didn't reflect the same kind of bullying, it'd be
people.
Different. But by the way, John, you bring up a point. Did you read that whole Washington Post piece? This kid actually sounds like he had, unfortunately, pretty sad life, and he talks about being scarred, sort of haunted by this. I'm not saying, you know, that's all, but you can imagine this wasn't the only incident in which he was obviously bullied, right, and made to
You're exactly right, Steph, exactly right. And this is Mitt Romney, who in 1994 wrote in that letter to Log Cabin, "We seek to establish full equality for America's gay and lesbian citizens."
Yeah.
So he's a flip-flopper on his flip-flop.
Yep, exactly. By the way, could you take your organ out, please, for the ecclesiastical move? John Fugelsang, this one for you. This is actually, I got to tell you, this is quite serious. People actually usually call Dr. Laura for bad advice. In this case, I don't.
When you want the most spiritually unsound counsel possible, call the Stephanie Miller Show when I'm around.
Yeah.
Wow, I am not the person to call for advice.
Even the Vatican doesn't believe in purgatory anymore, but I will send you there with my bad advice.
This is serious, though, honestly. This is from Norma in Arizona, needing advice serious. Stephanie, you took my call Wednesday. I was overjoyed. Then my president made me so proud to be an American. Overjoyed again. Then my world fell apart. Let me explain. My fiancé and I have been living together for 17 years. Then he found Jesus. I've also asked Christ into my heart. Anyway, the church said we were living in sin, so he moved out of the bedroom into the office. Plans began for a wedding. Last night he came home from Bible study, asked if I had heard what the president said. I answered, yep, never been prouder. Well, now our marriage is in doubt. I personally believe in civil rights for all people. Now he says he has to get counsel as to whether he can marry me. Does John Fugelsang have anything I can say to him that will help? I'm very torn.
I certainly do.
Because not only have I loved this man since I met him at age 19, 30 years ago, I'm also disabled, and I'm 100% financially dependent on him. I have always known that our political beliefs are opposite, but he doesn't vote, and we don't really discuss it. I'm now spending today reading the Bible, crying, listening to you, and attempting to decide if being married to him is worth either changing my beliefs, not going to happen, or hiding my beliefs. I'd love to hear your opinion and John Fugelsang's as well. Way above my pay grade. Ecclesiastical MOOC?
Oh, it's not above your pay grade. Listen, send me her email address, because I want to send her some videos I've done on this very topic. But first off, Jesus never said a thing about gay people. And if you're going to try and be prejudiced against gay people, you've got to use Leviticus, which no one follows all the laws of that. I've talked about that a lot on your show, Steph.
Right.
In Romans, St. Paul is not talking about consensual same-sex relationships. Sodom and Gomorrah is not about consensual same-sex relationships. And Jesus was never opposed to it. The essence of love is being able to get along with people you disagree with. And so if your fiancé's love is true, he'll understand that. And you've got to go to him and say, look, this is how I feel, and my opinions of loving our gay brothers and sisters are based on the teachings of Christ. Your opinions of scorning them have nothing to do whatsoever with the teachings of Christ. Not to sound preachy here, but this is really, really a sad story, and I don't want to see this relationship end because this guy found a form of programming spiritually that works for him. But there's no way you can justify bigotry towards gay people using the Bible unless you follow Leviticus. And if you follow Leviticus, you have to stone to death children who are bratty to their parents. So, you know, you're on the right side. You're on the Christian side. And I don't know what his little club has taught him. But, you know, this is really, really sad. And we're going to see a lot of this happening now. I mean, all week we've been dealing with a lot of folks on the left being angry at the president, saying, welcome to the party, pal. What took you so long? You only forced into it because of a wedge issue. And I've been on the radio a lot this week.
When, you know, the couple of people when I came out said, oh, well, why now? You know,
exactly.
Just, you can't do that if you want anybody
And it's not liberal either, Steph, you know?
Everybody's got their own timing, their own, you know, I mean, Norman, the one thing that may make you feel better is I would be the worst possible person to ask for relationship advice. I have made a complete unmitigated...
I'm staying quiet. I'm staying quiet.
The person to ask.
The biggest piece of advice I can give is if he's going this route because of Christianity, then even if he believes that gay people are sinning, which you can't, again, use the Bible to say, you can't use it or else you're a hypocrite. But even if he believes that being gay is a sin, as a Christian, it's not your job to judge the sinner, man. It's your job to love the sinner. So there's no reason why the two of you, no married couple, no romantic couple agrees on everything. That level of codependency is horrifying. But you can live together, disagree on things, and still grow in love and in faith and have a strong relationship.
That's theoretical for me, but I will take your word for it.
Well, it's for me too. But I do want to say one last thing about all the lefties who are coming down on the president, because you know, yeah, maybe he was backed into a corner with a wedge issue trap, and all of our Romney friends are all gloating how Obama just lost the election. I'm not convinced of that. I think Obama just won the history books, and that's the long game.
Well,
even if he loses, he won history.
And you know what? And you can see in these latest incidents, John, the difference in character between Mitt Romney and President Obama.
Exactly.
This is what real courage looks like, you know, and Cory Booker, who, by the way, is a superhero, so we should just do whatever he says.
Oh, my God, Cory Booker. I need a kidney once. He just ripped one out, handed it to me, and flew away.
Right?
And then he shoveled somebody's walk when it snowed.
Jim had an ectopic pregnancy one day, and Cory Booker...
Took care of that.
Yes.
Oh, one time I needed bone marrow.
Right.
He was there with it. I mean, he's amazing, the guy. Cory Booker.
He
brought down the Berlin Wall. He did it.
Yes.
With one fist.
Booker, I just met her.
He said, I think it puts the light on many people, Democrats and Republicans, who have the same personal sentiments but haven't had the courage to come forward and say it. He said, I respect the fact that he struggled with his conscience, and I actually don't see, for those of us who have surrendered to cynicism about politics in general, I don't see a political advantage in this. I see a guy who was wrestling with his heart, and the totality of his personal experiences finally brought him over a line. I wish he was there some time ago, but, you know, you've got to applaud him.
Can I respond to that really quick? Because I don't think he was really wrestling with it. I think he was wrestling with political reality. When Bill Clinton signed the defense...
Yeah, because if this gives us President Romney, God forbid.
Exactly.
Honestly.
A lot of people don't realize that by opposing gay marriage, Barack Obama was helping gay people because he was trying to get reelected. When Bill Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act, everyone said it was so homophobic and evil. Folks, if he hadn't done that, there's a chance that Bob Dole could have become president. Bill Clinton helped gay people by signing that awful anti-gay law.
Yeah.
Politics is compromise, and it sucks. It's a drag. But the fact is, whether Obama loses the election, and I don't think he will, we just saw this morning on Daily Beast that black folks are getting behind him now on this issue, which is great.
Well, that's what a leader does. He leads.
Exactly,
all right,
Steph. One final thing. By saying this announcement, the president saved lives. There's kids who will not kill themselves because their leader
validated their love. Can you imagine, John? I mean, I cried along with a lot of other people yesterday. You're like, there is a sitting president of the United States America telling that kid sitting in Kansas, thinking he is never going to have a good life. You know, he's not going to be able to, you know, serve his country or marry the person he loves.
But also, I think Obama's going to get back the youth vote that walked away from him in 2010.
Yeah.
You're right. I think you're exactly right.
Or lost enthusiasm for him. Yeah.
Yeah, that youth vote is now reignited.
Right.
And
as much as the experts want to say it's not going to be about gay marriage, folks, it's going to be as much about marriage equality as it is about the economy.
And now,
it speaks to where we're going as a people.
That's right. And now the kids, in the immortal words of Robert De Niro, have, you know, enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
I get nowhere if the team doesn't win.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
This is my favorite song about two adulterers finding each other and they're already married.
Yeah.
So romantic. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, I love me some Andy Borowitz. He has a letter from Mitt Romney to the American people. Democrats already tried to seize on this incident as evidence I don't like gays. That's a lie. I have nothing against gays, except for the poor ones, of course. And as any of my high school chums can tell you, I didn't go out of my way to pick on gay kids. I was also a total douche to many heterosexuals.
Yeah.
The fact is, boys will be boys. Who among us hasn't shoved a crippled kid down a flight of stairs?
Or a blind guy into a door.
That's something else I did in those mischievous days. But the mainstream media isn't reporting it because they want to turn this into an anti-gay thing.
Yeah. You know Mitt loves you when he straps you to the top of the car for a 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. John Fugelsang, the President Obama with a John Fugelsang moment.
Oh, no.
I heard about this. He whipped out the Etch-a-Sketch.
Mitt Romney just recently said that he deserves a credit for the revival of the U.S. auto industry. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, I think this is one of his Etch-a-Sketch moments. I don't think anybody takes that seriously. People remember his position, which was, let's let Detroit go bankrupt. So had we followed his advice at that time, GM and Chrysler would have gone under, and we would have lost probably a million jobs throughout the Midwest.
Is there any way we can get him to say Etch-a-Sketch a moment, trademark John Fugelsang?
It was actually Eric Fernstrom. I'm getting a lot of credit for his statement.
Right. Yeah.
But, I was playing in Phoenix last week. I was doing Guilt in Phoenix, and I was asked to sign 3 Etch-a-Sketches while I was there.
Nice! But, you know,
it's so funny. And it's so
funny. Signed them in Chinese.
Yeah, but this is the, you know, again, lie, whether it's about a bullying incident however long ago. Republicans and Democrats who worked on the rescue insist there were no private sector loans available to keep the companies afloat. How many times can we say it? Through bankruptcy proceedings, given the disastrous state of the finance industry at the time, and as Obama alluded, it was a shift in tone by Romney, so rare for him. Romney played up his differences with Obama much more during the Republican primary, where most voters opposed the intervention, and now it was his idea?
Right, yeah. The only thing Mitt Romney has to do with the auto industry is that he comes off like a sleazy used car salesman. That's it. That's the only connection.
And as we were saying, he's just, it's Bush only worse. I mean, he's campaigning for president on fiscal responsibility. At the same time, he wants to increase military spending. Compared to the Pentagon's current budget, Romney's plan would lead to $2.1 trillion in additional spending over the next 10 years. No, you know, word on how he would pay for that. On top of increased military spending, he plans on expanding the Bush tax cuts. Also has not said how he'd pay for those. So
there's no revenue coming in. It's, again, they're par with the Republicans. Where's the money, Lebowski? He wants the rich to pay even less taxes. He wants the Paul Ryan budget, which, I'm sorry, man, you know, Google Krugman. It's just nothing but deficits for as far as the eye can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, we had Tim Pawlenty on CNN last week, and I said to him, you know, when you look at Romney's platform, and it looks like he stands for two things, deregulating Wall Street even more and cutting taxes for the rich even more. Can you tell me, Mr. Pawlenty,
and
what's the difference between this guy and Bush? It's Bush economics all over again.
And continuing to bully gays. Yeah,
it's the only kind of recycling they believe in.
And he's worse than Bush. Even Bush believed in civil unions. This is how far to the right we're going here.
Oh, and Romney used to. Let's not forget that. He used to. And that letter he wrote to log cabin Republicans, he said he believed in full equality.
He used to believe in everything once. Tony in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tony. Hey, Tony. 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 Okay. Martha in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
You know, this deal with this gay kid, I'm sorry, but as bad as that is, you just don't do anything like that to anybody.
Right.
Ever. And when he was asked about it yesterday, he kind of laughed about it. So I guess he still thinks it's funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, somebody who doesn't have a conscience, there's a name for those people. They're called sociopaths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I used that term earlier because I said it's interesting how every single person involved in this, even the ones that were helping him do it, felt horrible about it and remembered it vividly their whole life.
You know what? On a corporate level, he was a sociopath. All that Bain does is the equivalent of corporate condo flipping. When you show up to your job and find out Bain just bought your company yesterday and you're being fired, but you can reapply for your job tomorrow but with no benefits, that's what Mitt Romney gave us.
That's what I said.
The kind of thing
what he
creates.
Did, if you read the Village Voice article, what he did at Bain was bullying. Mm-hmm. If you read
Mitt
the Washington
Romney,
Post,
American Parasite, Google it. It's fantastic.
Yep.
I enjoy firing people.
29 minutes after the hour, back more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Alcoholic used to work in this building.
Oh, you mean
Stephanie Miller.
Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Sexy liberal John Bugle sang in actually the Madison Bureau, getting ready to be on the show with Barrymore tonight.
Coming to you live. I'm very, very well proud to be welcomed here at 92.1 The Mic here in Madison. They love you, Steppers.
Our fabulous Clear Channel affiliate in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin.
Indeed. It's great to be back here where Sexy Liberal all began, and I'm proud to be bringing my my solo show here after my director got her Tony nomination and all that.
Nice.
Awesome. And then you will join Aish Tyler and I for Sexy Liberal in Minneapolis tomorrow night at the State Theater.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, you're right. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama. I'm so glad that you're going to be in town. I'm going to have the meet and greet tickets. It's going to be fun.
Right.
You
on.
Know, we have a marriage.
And you previously handled me at a Blue State Ball. So.
I did. I was your handler, and in fact, my ringtone phone picture for your number is me sticking my tongue in your ear.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
I can still feel it now. It's
get
magical.
That on your credit card, sir. Get that picture on your credit card.
Maybe you should wash, honey. But anyway, I'm a 57-year-old
man. Thanks for getting the wax out, by the way.
Oh, you look and tasty, too.
And, you know, handling Stephanie at the Blue State Ball can put you in a blue ball state.
There are we ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, listen. I'm one of those guys that we're talking about today. You know, the whole thing with Mitt Romney is absolutely awful. I'm a 57-year-old man who is still, every now and then, thinks back to what I went through in high school, being called femme, which is not just a regional thing, but I was called that in a little town called Glenville, Minnesota. And I was picked on. I was, because I was different. At that point in my life, I didn't even know why I was different. I just knew I was. All you do is struggle to fit in and to be normal. You can't figure out why you're not. And then you hear about this, about someone with all this privilege and all this power, all this narcissistic
whose dad is the governor of the state.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so what you live with that all of your life. It does affect you. You've pushed past it. You move on. But you're always got this note of caution and fear that someone's going to look at you and say, this is different. Let's do something to him. So I hope Romney's happy. I hope he's happy this has come out, because what happens now is every single person that's ever been bullied for any reason, whether gay issues or otherwise, male and female, or any other person who's watched on as someone else has been bullied and felt badly for them, now when they look at the television screen and see that pasty face, all they're looking at is the face of the person who's done that to them.
Oh, listen, we've all
he's
had
really
our...
sorry for the thing he can't remember doing.
Yeah, he's very sorry for the thing that he doesn't think happened. Dave, you know, that's true. We're all having our bully flashbacks this morning. Chris LaVoy has had a couple of Roman Gomez flashbacks.
Yeah, I blame you, Roman Gomez.
Which are terrifying. And I you know, talking to you, Carol Fisher, got beat up in front of the Y and pushed through the bushes. Well, that was not part of the joke.
Yeah.
But you know what? With the ecclesiastical MOOC here, I feel the need to confess something.
Okay, here it comes.
All right,
here it comes.
Please take
come
your,
unto me, my child.
Take your organ out for me, won't
this
you?
This is funny.
How do you know what I'm going to say?
It's delicious just anticipating it. Confessions with Steph.
I'm just a no, because Mitt Romney put out a call for all his high school friends to back him up.
Yep.
So I'm putting out a call to you guys, because this was an incident that if I were to run for president later and this were reported, it would see and sound very Romney-esque. However, there's a difference when the person is in on the joke. So,
And Mitt Romney's friends have said that the poor kid wasn't really in on the joke.
I'm just getting out in front of the story, as they say in the political world. So, okay, wait. Oh, so Margaret Grancelli and Gene Mulaney, I'm calling on you because I think we were all in the same car coming back from DeSales Catholic High School. But anyway, my hilarious friend Charlene Dockery had a broken leg and was on crutches in Buffalo in the winter. And when we were dropping her off at her house, I pushed her into the snowbank and threw her crutches. Okay,
hilarious.
But the difference is she was in on the joke, and she was laughing.
How can she be in on the joke?
That's great.
It's funny. You can't walk now.
I broke my other leg. That's funny.
Hey, Stephen Hawking, let's see how smart you are without your wheelchair.
She was laughing, and we only drove like 10 feet, and then we came back.
You drove away?
That was part of the joke.
That is kind of funny, actually.
But
the snow driving away makes it funny. You went so over the top.
Yes, and then we came back, and I helped her back up.
Well, of course, she broke her arm, and so couldn't use her crutches.
Okay, even funnier. All right, I'm done with my confession.
It's funny, Steph. Well, but you make a very good point. None of us want to be judged on the worst thing we ever did in high school. We all did terrible things. Teenage years are the last
Who's
time
we
you're
all, Kemosabe?
Yeah. Sure. Chris, you were never mean to another kid when you were a teenager?
No, I was the one that everybody was mean to.
Exactly. Everyone was mean to me too. As well. I was bullied all the time, but I remember I did some mean things to other kids. Because you displace your anger. It's human. Mm-hmm. And your teenage years are the last time you're allowed to be a cold-hearted, evil person and get away with it. But, you know, for me, it's just a pattern of disregard for others. And Mitt Romney's entire career, whether he's laying them off and outsourcing their jobs,
well, exactly,
strapping a pet to the roof of the car.
And some girls stay, mean girls or mean guys or whatever they were in high school. Some people just do.
Well, and that, you know what? And we didn't get to talk about this last week, but when Mitt Romney's gay spokesman had to resign because of pressure from the right, if you're a gay
person... What kind of character did that show?
Well, here's the thing. If you're a gay man or woman and you're trying to make Mitt Romney the president over Barack Obama, you're a terrible person, okay? You're a horrible person. And if you say, hey, I may be gay, but I vote my pocketbook, man, that's just how it is. I'm a minority. I vote my pocketbook. I care about my taxes. Then you're an even more horrible person because you're willing to let your brethren suffer. This is a guy, Mitt Romney, who gave thousands of dollars to Planned Parenthood and now lies about what Planned Parenthood spends their money on and is promising to defund Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
He wants the Ryan budget. If you care about people with breast cancer, if you care about senior citizens and you vote for Romney, you're a horrible person. The end.
Tanya in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tanya.
Hi, Steph. Hi, everyone. How's everyone today?
Good.
Hi.
Hey. Steph pushed me into a snowbank and I broke my arm. Other than that, fine.
He's rivaling Romney right now. I mean, who's meaner, Stephanie or Romney? I just wanted to say that I really boils down to morals and character and having a social conscience. And Romney just doesn't have that. And it doesn't matter if he was 18 or what age. The fact of the matter is what he did was reprehensible. And there just could not be a starker contrast between our President mm-hmm. Obama, and Governor Romney.
That's
and people
right.
Like
oh,
that,
I don't know. I heard President Obama's tried marijuana when he was a teenager. That's much, much worse, isn't it?
Well, you know what? Marijuana is natural, but Rombot isn't.
Rock on.
That's the difference there. Yeah. All right. And also, Mary Murphy put a cat kidney in my hairbrush in science lab.
What?
Why did you have a cat kidney lying around?
Because it was dissection glass.
You dissected cats?
And she thought because I brushed my hair in case I saw a cute boy in the hallway. Right, and so she knew that I brushed my hair at the end of every class. And she put a cat kidney in it.
Cats? Dissected cats?
I don't remember. Horrible. Or something. Pig kidney, frog
kidney. We dissected fetal pigs, but not cats.
Could have been a pig. I don't.
A frog kidney.
Listen, ever since Paul DeFonso and I had to dissect a pregnant frog, I haven't been able to.
I just think I'm going to birth.
I've just blanked out all of science class.
What did you and the Pontillo brothers have to do?
Shush. I don't know anything about that. Maria in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Stephanie. You guys are so funny.
Well, sorry about everything.
I just wanted to make a couple comments, one about Fox News and another about Mittens Romney. The first on Fox is I just happened to be at a friend's house a few nights ago, and he was watching Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly was talking about how Will Smith said in an interview that he agrees with hiking taxes, that this country has been so great to him, and he's very blessed, and he would not have a problem with paying more taxes.
Yeah, what a jerk. Mm-hmm. What a jerk, huh?
And here's the shock, okay? Bill O'Reilly said that Will Smith is a patriot, because it was the Patriot and Pinhead segment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, he's a patriot? But you're against tax hikes. So that means you're unpatriotic?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it ironic.
So let me get this straight. You went to Bill O'Reilly's show to find consistency? Is that what you were hoping for? That's so cute. That is precious.
Well, you have to understand, Steph, trickle-down worked under Reagan at 50%, doesn't work under Obama at 36%.
Yeah, right, exactly. Let's go to Shirley in Chicago. Hey, Shirley, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. I want to tell you two things. Number one, I've been a fan of yours since longer than you want to know,
oh,
and
dear.
Have loved you the whole time.
Thank you.
Love you more all the time.
Oh.
Now,
that's really the reverse of most of my relationships, but thank you.
No, just kidding.
Go ahead.
I stand by you, and I've waited a long time, and I'd wait longer.
Thank you.
Okay. Speaking about Romney.
I've waited a very long time.
I haven't heard the word gay bashing. I haven't heard the word hate crimes. And I don't forgive that it was in high school. It's constant. He's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I say, you know.
And the emotional scars that this man has had have affected him his entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is not the same. He will never be the same. And this jerk will not pay for a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
And you know, John, as we've said, part of why it's relevant is because his policies that he advocates now, today, are institutional bullying.
Right, right. Exactly right, Stephanie.
This is Mitt Romney yesterday.
States could have their own decisions with regards to the domestic partnership rights, but my preference would be to have a national standard for marriage, and that marriage we defined as being between a man and a woman.
Yeah, that's American, writing discrimination into our Constitution.
Yeah, this is from a guy whose great-grandfather left America, quit the country, because he wanted marriage to be between a man and several women.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mitt Romney is so soulless, Harry Potter is looking for his Horcrux.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with John Fieglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by Solar World. They've been making solar panels here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com to find out more about the leader in American solar. The president talking about Joe Biden yesterday.
He probably got out a little bit over his skis, but out of generosity of spirit. Would I have preferred to have done this in my own way, in my own terms, without, I think, there being a lot of notice to everybody, sure. But all's well that ends well.
Biden went to the Oval Office to say he was sorry, I guess.
Yeah, he went to apologize.
President.
Let me tell you, man. There's like episodes. There's like Civil War reenactments less rehearsed than that. I mean, come on. When Arne Duncan does the same thing, when you've got two cabinet members coming out in the same week and you're going to claim.
I agree with
you,
John.
This is not the Reagan White House, okay? The guy has a little bit of control over what his staff does.
These aren't stupid people.
Yeah, but I think, you know, all the reports I was hearing, John, is that he had, you know, as you said, completed his evolution and had planning on saying something before the convention, but this just sort of accelerated his timetable.
That's what he told you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe him, and
well,
I love
sure.
him, and he's
and I love Joe Biden.
Romantic. Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
What he did was to advance the cause of civil rights in such a personal as well as presidential way that it's more important than any political consequences.
Oh, the heck with her. What does Crystal Palin
He's so
think?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, let's start
Crystal
our engines
Palin
on
think?
This. I think we can say that Crystal Palin is on the table now, right? Like we're
absolutely.
Yeah, because
she has inserted
and Sasha.
Right.
Who,
Dancing
way,
with the Stars. We couldn't comment on that, but
are
now
not, pregnant. By the way,
she has inserted herself politically into this conversation. So yes, she is absolutely fair game. Go.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
let's
Palin. You know, boy, just the apple doesn't fall far from the
from the duh.
Okay. From the duh tree, exactly. Palin in a blog post entitled, Hail to the Chiefs, Malia and Sasha Obama. So she writes, let me get this straight. It's a problem if my mom listened too much to my dad, but it's a heroic act if the president made a massive change in policy position that could affect the entire nation after consulting with his teenage daughters. While it's great to listen to your kids' ideas, there's also a time when dads simply need to be dads. In this case, it would have been helpful for him to explain to Malia and Sasha that while her friend's parents are no doubt lovely people, that's not a reason to change thousands of years of thinking about marriage, or that, as great as her friends may be, we know in general kids do better growing up in a mother-father home.
That's right.
Says no.
No, we actually
that's right.
don't
yeah.
know that.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, fathers help shape their kids' worldview. In this situation, it was the other way around. I guess we can be glad that Malia and Sasha aren't younger, or perhaps today's press conference might have been about appointing Dora the Explorer as Attorney General.
Okay, so this is an
unwed...
Her
message to the president, be an actual leader instead of merely reflecting what many teenagers think after one too many episodes of Glee.
So she's a homophobe, too. Isn't that great?
No, you know what? She didn't write a word of that.
Right. Of course.
Either Sarah Palin or Sarah Palin's speech writers
wrote
all of that.
I don't care. She put her name on it. She's a homophobe.
She's not that eloquent. I guarantee you
she's not. Did she get into a homophobic tweet thing a while back on some other issue? Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody criticized her, and there was a homophobic slur.
And this is after
Sarah Palin. Didn't say anything about that.
Right.
David Letterman should demand an apology. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is after all that Sarah Palin said about my kids are off limits. What we have here is an unwed teen mother who has a child out of wedlock, who gets paid thousands of dollars to preach to other people about the virtues of abstinence, and she just slammed the president for listening to his own daughters.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
well, Bristol Palin is a hateful person.
The ghostwriter did.
Yeah.
Who I suspect is a closeted gay Republican.
Bristol Palin is to morality what she is to dancing on television.
But she paid, you know what? Yeah. She said yes to putting her name on it. Mm-hmm. So, if it's written in her name and she puts her name on it, they are her words. I'm sorry.
I mean, how many times after using them as campaign props did Sarah Palin say, leave my kids alone? Her kid brings Sasha and Malia into this because the president mentions them.
Right.
I mean, okay.
It's good to know that hypocrisy and bad logic are hereditary.
This is hypocrisy of the highest, most awful order, though.
Yeah, tremendously. And again, you're telling me that Governor Palin didn't know that her daughter was going to be releasing this.
Oh, please. I know. Eric in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Eric.
Morning.
Good morning.
I want to say hi to my son, Edison. He's 12, and he records all 3 hours and watches every minute of the show every day.
How old is Edison?
We've known people like that.
12.
Hi, Edison.
And his name's Edison? What a name to live up to, pal. Call him Einstein, why don't you? Raise the bar a bit.
Yeah, good idea, Edison.
He was either that or Gomer. It was a coin flip.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Oh, I can't wait. When this poor kid's in science class, what are you working on now, Edison?
What are you doing, inventing a light bulb over
Must
there
Must be tough being a genius, Edison.
All right,
go on, please.
Go ahead.
Anyway, well, what I want to say is...
Sorry, it's bullying day here on the Stephanie Miller Show. We apologize.
I agree with, throwing out the worst thing he did in high school. But, it just sounds like there's so many things where even if you throw out the worst thing he did, Romney did, and the, next two worst things, there's still a lot of other worst things there. So,
there's a pattern.
That stands up in principle. Exactly. It's that whole pattern. And he doesn't seem to remember a lot of the stuff going on. So,
he really is Reagan-esque.
And why so little attention to the deliberately steering a nearly blind teacher into a door?
Yeah.
Who doesn't think that's the height of hilarity? What? What a jerk.
Yep.
I mean, seriously. Melinda in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Melinda.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
So good to talk to you.
You do.
Hey, and I can't wait for the Sexy Liberal Show in Seattle. I'm so excited.
My birthday
that.
Show, September 29th. Get it. Tickets going fast.
And she gets so horny when she's in Seattle.
Oh, I tell you what.
Yeah, too bad. Too bad we're not going to be close enough to get any DNA on us. But
No. I get around.
The front 26 rows usually get drenched. So.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay, but we have a chance then.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to say that if the tables were turned and this whole thing with Romney, if this would have been Obama having this brought up on him, he would have been called a thug.
Yep.
He would have been called a gang member.
Yep.
Oh, if a black kid picked on a gay kid in high school? Oh, let freedom ring from President Romney.
Yeah, exactly. Michelle in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Michelle.
Yes. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I was okay at first until I heard about Bristol Palin. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
I will be honest with you.
We're pinning the outrage meter this morning.
For real. I mean, I don't like to even talk about her because, honestly, she is a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the audacity to sit up and talk about marriage. Wait a minute. Hold on. Isn't she heterosexual?
Yeah.
Aren't they religious?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute.
She was a teenage unwed mother who, by the way, is an adult now, and she's making fun of kids.
And still unwed.
Melly and Sasha are still kids,
Isn't that a harlot according to the Bible?
Yes, it is.
Isn't she a fornicator?
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
But
anyway.
If we were going to get all judgmentally and Bible-y, by the way, Ecclesiastical Mook, we were talking earlier, this Boston Globe piece is about how Romney said blatantly homophobic things in front of a Mormon congregation once. He said,
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's that's what I mean. It isn't just a one-time incident.
That it's a sickness and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a sickness, a perversion. Yeah.
And as far as Bristol, if you're going to have unprotected sex with Levi Johnston, you don't get to question anybody else's judgment for the rest of your life.
No, you do not. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Robin McCarrion of the LA Times and her piece on this. As we continue Friday's Buglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. We are in the midst of Fridays with sexy little John Buglesang, who is in the Madison Bureau. Oh,
yes.
Katie in Chicago, you're going to the John Show tonight?
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Katie.
Good morning.
This is the official dog walking bartender of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boy, howdy.
I am road tripping it up to Chicago for your show today. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm so honored. Thank you. This is very serious theater, you know.
Yeah.
Yes,
there's nothing sexy or liberal about this.
Well, but you'll be on stage, so
right?
It'll be sexy and liberal.
Well, I wanted to make a show that sexy liberals could bring their unsexy conservative loved ones to.
There. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going with people that I met in the front row of the Sexy Liberal Chicago show who live in Madison.
Oh,
and
my
they
God.
Said, you're going to John's show, or are you going by yourself? And I said, yes. And they said, no, you're not. You're going with us. So, Rachel, I will see you in a couple hours.
Oh, it's more of the sexy liberal family. Yay,
Stephanie
Katie.
Miller brings people together.
There you go. Thank you, Katie. Have fun. And then tomorrow night, the Par and the Tay, both the Par and the Tay in Minneapolis with Aisha Tyler, John Buglesang, and I for Sexy Liberal at the State Theater. There are teensy tiny, very few tickets left, so I would get them fast. I believe that was 2 hours ago, though. There were six VIPs left, but they're probably...
And wasn't there a student discount or something?
At noon tomorrow at the box office, there'll be a student rush. $20 tickets for the mezzanine. Then we open up the mezzanine. They're going to be...
and this rush will not call you a whore if you use contraception.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey!
Aisha Tyler, wow. I mean, really funny lady. Too bad about her looks, but,
yeah,
you know.
It's a shame about her looks.
The recently Emmy-nominated Aisha Tyler.
Mm-hmm. For The Talk.
Yeah.
I know.
Daytime talk
her.
Show.
Good for her.
That's right.
Our sexy liberals. I'm so proud. All right. Kids, one of my very favorite reporters forever and ever, Robin McCarrion of the L.A. Times, wrote a great piece on this Romney story. She joins us now. Hi, Robin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And we also used to do a little radio together.
We sure did. Back in the day.
Yeah.
The day or two after Marconi invented it. But anyway.
Yes.
Rob, we've obviously been talking about this all morning, like everybody has. You know, it's interesting. You quote some people like Steve Schmidt as saying, oh, this isn't going to hurt him and nobody cares about high school. But we were saying, unfortunately, it seems like part of a pattern with Mitt Romney. You know, we were saying these policies, to me, are adult bullying when you talk about writing discrimination into the Constitution, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I've gotten a lot of feedback from readers on this, and I think it really does fall along partisan lines. I did hear from somebody yesterday, though, who said something that I thought was kind of poignant, which was, you know what? If you were bullied when you were a kid, this is going to mean a lot to you. This is going to really persuade you. So I think it's what you sort of bring to the issue, and whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that sort of controls how you react to it. I mean, people really are trying to minimize it on the right, that it was, you know, 50-year-old antics of an immature high school student. But on the other hand, he was 18 years old. And yes, standards were different at that time. But, I mean, one of his contemporaries...
But wait, Robin. Wait, standards weren't different, were they? Isn't that the point of this story, is no matter what you call it, whether it's today on social media, we all recognize bullying. And for him to say, we don't... It's homosexuals. We didn't know anything about that in the 60s.
Right.
Please.
Give me a break.
I think that's
right?
disingenuous. But I do think one of the witnesses to the event who was quoted by the Washington Post and who ABC News later went and found and spoke to, said that, you know, sure, we didn't have the vocabulary. We didn't know the word gay. But certainly we knew about homosexuality and we knew there was something different about this kid.
Yeah, and they had a lot of words not as nice as gay.
Well, as you
yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
As you wrote, Robin, this was a kid that was known for his, quote, nonconformity and presumed homosexuality. I don't care what decade you're from, you know which kid that was in your class, right?
Yes, yes. And I think it's disingenuous to pretend that, you know, even though it was 1965, which arguably was an even worse atmosphere and time for kids who are gay because they didn't have the vocabulary and they didn't have the way to talk about it.
There were no It Gets Better videos in the
60s. Exactly.
But
yeah, absolutely.
As you point out, the other thing is this wasn't the only incident. It was this other, you know, closeted gay student in class that he used to shout at a girl every time the kid said something, right?
You know, I think it was probably pretty hideous to be a closeted gay kid in 1965 in an all-boys elite prep school. You know what I mean? It must have been hard for kids like that. But, you know, the interesting thing is whether, you know, what people are weighing is this indicative of some character flaw? Or can you say, all right, this happened when the guy was 18, he's changed, he's grown up, he's mature, he's different. So the really interesting thing to me is that he has apologized several times yesterday while claiming not to remember the incident, while claiming to have no idea whether this kid was gay. Still in all, he took a weird kind of quasi-responsibility for his actions and said, I did pranks, they went too far, I apologize to anybody I hurt or offended. So he knows that this could be potentially damaging, and he's trying very hard, I think, to finesse his way through it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether there's going to be lasting damage. I don't think anybody does.
Well, I mean, you know, I think, as you say, first of all, I think it doesn't, as a reporter, it doesn't pass the smell test, does it? It's like, I apologize for an incident I have no memory of, you know, and I had no idea he was a homosexual in the incident I have no memory of.
Well,
right?
It worked for Reagan and Iran-Contra, didn't it?
It's probably a time-tested politician's dodge in some ways. But, I mean, the alternative, I guess, is for him to say, yes, I did it. I was a horrible person. I mean, who's going to come out and say that? I think what was interesting, though, is the way the campaign handled it initially with the Washington Post, which was, you know, basically saying everybody who knows him knows he doesn't have a mean bone in his body, instead of really addressing, you know, what happened and what the atmosphere was like at that school. And he clearly was the very privileged, entitled son of the governor, who was at the very top of the social pyramid. And, you know,
you point out that, you know, this one point in your story, one man said he'd wonder whether Romney would get in trouble at the school known for its discipline, but that no one was punished. It's, you know, in the end, it's another story about a rich douche getting away with something that the rest of us. It's different rules for the top 1%, right?
Yeah, and the Washington Post reporter, Jason Horowitz, who broke this story, did such a good job really telling the story of the guy who was the victim in the incident, because this kid who was thrown down and whose hair was cut by Mitt Romney, and we can say that because there were five witnesses.
Right.
He later was kicked out of the school for smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. I know.
Wow.
And you know, as you point out too, I mean, like any good reporter, you know, Philip Maxwell, you write, a childhood friend of Romney's who was named in the Post story, told ABC he had witnessed the incidents, which he called what you said, Chris, assault and battery.
That's
and
right.
Bullying supreme. Maxwell said he is haunted by the attack. Funny how vivid it is for all of the guys involved in the attack and the victim, and Romney has absolutely no memory of you know, something that.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think if I did something really horrible, I might repress the memory, so let's give him that.
Well, I think the main thing you quote him as saying at the end of your piece is there's going to be some that want to talk about high school. If you really think that's important, be my guest. Well, guess what?
Right.
I do. I think character is important, and I think that, you know, we've been saying, I think what he did at Bain was bullying. I think writing discrimination in the Constitution is bullying. I think, you know.
And you know what? What Mitt Romney did to this kid in high school would not bother me at all if he was the kind of man who said, what I did was wrong, I know better now, my heart is opened, my mind is opened, and I want to take care of our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters. Then I wouldn't mind what he did in high school, because I'd know he learned from it.
Robin, I haven't even been to AA yet, and I make amends to people all the time.
Well, I do think it's interesting that given, you know, that this is Gay Marriage Week, let's face it, he did go on Neil Cavuto's show yesterday afternoon and completely reiterate his stance against gay marriage and wants a national, you know, standard enshrining marriage as being between a man and a woman. So on that issue, you know, his heels are dug in.
Yep.
And
even against civil unions, if they approximate marriage in any way. I mean,
well, that's what leaders do.
Yes, and he thinks that states should have the ability individually to define the rights that would accrue to gay couples. So maybe one state, he said, thinks it's okay for a gay partner to visit another in the hospital. Maybe another state doesn't. So, I mean, advocating that kind of patchwork approach to gay civil rights, I think, is, you know, it's only going to firm up his support on the far right and the, you know, the gay rights side.
Yeah, because he was in fear of losing the homophobe vote.
You mentioned, you mentioned character, and, you know, as I torture my co-host all the time with American president quotes, you know, when he said, you know, this job is not partially about character, this job is entirely about character, and I feel like Barack Obama showed his and true political courage, mm-hmm. which is so rare, and, you know, this shows Romney's. How do you think, you know, as someone that's been covering politics for so long, how do you think this will all play out in the fall?
Well, you know, they're battling over that slice in the middle of the independents and the moderates. And I don't think we can know at this point how it's going to play out. But I will say this. The march of history seems to be on the side of gay marriage. And if you look at the polls and how they've changed, even in just the last 20 years, and I know you're aware of this, it's a dramatic change in the people who are now supporting gay marriage. And it's, if you look at the youth, you know, I think it's like 25 and under, 60%, I think, of that demographic support gay marriage. So those people are going to age, and they will continue to support gay marriage as they age. I just think you could argue that people who do not support gay marriage are on the wrong side of history.
Yep.
Because
firmly.
It's an inevitable march toward that moment. And, you know, I think, I don't know if it's going to be a deciding factor in the election, but I don't think it's going to win him people he didn't already have in his corner.
Robin Carrion, you have been my favorite reporter forever, and I would ask you to marry me right now if it weren't for the fact that you were straight and I'm a loser.
That's so sad.
I know.
I can make an exception for you.
now we're talking.
Wow.
Robin Carrion, LA Times, always a pleasure. Come back again real soon, Robin.
All right, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes.
Boy, she's brilliant.
She's the greatest writer.
I've always loved her.
Yeah.
And the nicest person to work with in radio as well.
Yes.
And, you know, the American people are the heroes here. The American people are getting better. We're seeing evolution. When I moved to Greenwich Village in the 80s, when ACT UP was beginning, I never would have imagined you'd see this kind of outpouring of support for gay marriage. And just look at the proof. The president raised $1 million in 90 minutes. Romney has raised zilch since this.
Yeah, I'm on a tear, Chris. How many people have I asked to marry me this week? Randy Rhodes, David Schuster. I'm all over the place.
I even think you asked
Rob Reiner's son.
You asked Courtney to marry you.
Really?
Last weekend.
In the current newsroom? Really?
Yeah.
Shut down so far. Eric in Ohio writes, Steph, sounds like Randy Rhodes on the verge of settling for you. Maybe some pro flowers would seal the deal. Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Type Stephanie in the box.
Type my own name in my own box. That might put that over the edge. Never know. I can ignore somebody's straightness. I just, whatever.
Well, I can handle gay marriage, but gay straight marriage, no.
No.
I do not support
that. Then you're crossing the streams.
What about the children?
Nancy, John... Hi, my friend is getting married for her bachelorette party. We're going to your Boston Sexy Liberal show with you and John and Aisha. Tickets flying out the door for Boston, even coming up June 9th.
We have a bachelorette party at our Boston show?
Woo!
Hey, now we got to do dirty material.
And you know what? You can gay marry in Boston.
Woo! Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I strike out
in
Minneapolis tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got a month to regroup. All right, 18 minutes after the hour. Back more Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like him?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. They call me her. They call me Stephanie Miller.
That's not my name.
Okay, we got it.
Right.
I call you monotonous.
Right. back up off my ting tings. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12.
I get ting tings.
Billy in Jacksonville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, Steph, Mooks, and John.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi. So, first of all, I'd like to be the gay Polish truck driver of the
Stephanie
Miller
Show.
Oh, there's
one?
So many jokes in there, I won't do any of them.
And an unhealthy crush on Chris Lavoie on TV, so it's really bad.
Get in line.
Am I allowed to call you a Polak for that? Because I'm a Polak. All right, yeah. Never mind.
Okay, the thing that I want to say is I think that what's really going to move us forward in this fight for equality is to demand that the media stop getting opposing views from people like Tony Perkins when they talk about these issues.
Yeah.
The reason that I say that is because they're giving people examples. They actually make it look like there's credibility
right.
to the argument.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way,
balance, that's going to the insane, horrible, evil person.
Yeah, right. By the way, we heard during the break, I don't know if it's news, but that John is writing a book of sort of like an idiot's guide to the Bible, which is the best idea ever. We need that book, John.
I'm finally getting a chance to do some work on it after this week.
By the way, the ecclesiastical MOOC here is causing a lot of people to confess. Please take your organ out.
Oh,
let's
please.
Let's see. This is from Brooke. Steph,
come to the confessional.
Yes. Come to Father John. Hi, Steph. My confession, when I was 8 years old, I used to fill my mouth with water from the school fountain and spit it onto Pippi Pumpkin, which was a Halloween pumpkin positioned right outside Mrs. Lauderdale's fourth grade classroom.
Oh,
to this
a pumpkinist.
Day. I don't remember why I did this. I wasn't at all angry with Pippi, and I loved Halloween. Maybe it was the secret thrill of watching the black paper top hat warp and distort after repeated dousings and knowing I was responsible. However, the fun ended when one of the girls from the class saw me doing it and reported me. I was terrified, petrified, scared right down to my corrective Oxford shoes that I would be sent to Mr. Awoski, our ghoulish walleyed principal.
Wow.
I also felt, wait for it, guilt, shame, all those things that anyone with a conscience should feel, even when 8 years old. I never bullied anyone again, human or pumpkin. So my question is, if I can remember that episode in such detail, why can't Mittens recall any of his bullying?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Because you're a sexy liberal, bro.
I recall him. I recall him as being zany hijinks.
You know, I said earlier, we can't judge people by the worst thing they did in high school, but I'm sorry. When you're bullying vegetation, that crosses a line for me. You went after a pumpkin, madam. How dare you?
Wearing crepe paper.
That offends even pagans.
You're a crepe paperist.
Yeah. All right, speaking of confessions, Britt writes, Mama and the Mooks, was driving Friday night to my sand volleyball game. We usually get drunk before the game and then stick around afterwards at the bar to continue drinking.
I know
and
people like that.
My people.
And to eat the sand.
Thank you. Anyway, on my way to the game, I stuck behind a very slow Hummer with a bumper sticker that said, I stand with Scott Walker. I began to laugh and sing the great song, I Stand with Stephanie Miller. The song was stuck in my hand. I found myself drunkenly singing it. During my volleyball games that night, my teammates began to ask what I was singing. I began to tell them about the Stephanie Miller Show, how funny it was. Few of my teammates began to listen and are loving the show. So while Scott Walker may be ruining Wisconsin, he's getting you more listeners.
There was one woman so strong that was showing us the light. With her box wine for us all.
Thank you.
And the jokes she'd tell apart. And what a sexy liberal. Radio show is so smart. We will stand by Stephanie Miller. Cause she's really not that old.
Yeah.
Not as old as Phyllis Diller. We will stand by Stephanie Miller.
Thank you, Scott Walker. Thank you. We'll take a one.
The show is well thought out.
Yes. Right.
With very little filler.
No.
We will stand.
All right.
It's been a month since I was in Madison with you, and I still have that song in my head.
Oh, God.
Yes, I know.
I'm taking to calling him Imperial Walker, I think. There you go.
There you go.
Imperial Walker.
All right. Hey, we've been chatting. We have Right-Wing World.
Right?
We have Celebrity Stack,
right?
Including details from the George Clooney Obama fundraiser out here last night. Yeah.
$15 kajillion where that happened.
The Daily Beast. The Daily Beast noted that James Brolin was there and didn't mention his wife was there as well.
Oh God.
Oh no. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Psychotic.
Stephanie Miller.
In your otherwise fine programming.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Bev from Houston says, I realize Mitt Romney is Biff Tannen. We need to go back to the future to fix this bully.
Ronald Reagan, the movie actor? Who's Secretary of the Treasury? Jack Benny?
Sure, and thank Chris Christie. We're both moderates from the Northeast. You can't be my running mate. Thank me, Chris Christie.
Bob in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Bristol Palin. Hello. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, you know what? Maybe Bristol needs to practice a little lesbianism. We wouldn't have to worry about paying for her. The taxpayers wouldn't have to pay for her illegitimate children.
Oh.
She needs to worry about her dad, her baby's daddy, than, you know, talking about Sasha and Malia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. By the way, Chris, take your organ out the My Personal Comedy Jesus, won't you? Steph, this is from Mark. Here's what Leviticus has to say about Bristol and premarital sex. Then Bristol. They shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die.
Yes.
Okay, that's what they
say. Again, that would
Leviticus
be Leviticus, stuff. Not Jesus.
Right.
Yes, if tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel or
whatever.
Something else ecclesiastical. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's almost like that book was written by insecure men.
Cha-think.
Let's go to Clark in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Clark.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, George Clooney had a dinner last night, $40,000 a plate.
Yep.
And I guarantee you every one of those people that bought a ticket there have their accounts offshore. They have their money stored offshore.
You do
offshore.
Guarantee that, and you have that information how?
I guarantee it because it's how accountants set up. People with
I don't think you know that. I don't think
multi-millionaires don't throw money away. That's how they can afford
$40,000.
Wow. And yet, sir, these are all multi-millionaires who are fighting to have their taxes raised to help the country.
Right, but in the meantime, they've got their money offshore and they're taking every deduction they can get.
Clark, you don't know that. Some
I'd
of those
like
people,
to see what
unlike
your
Mitt Romney,
entails.
Unlike those
you
people, they may actually believe in America. Unlike Mitt Romney, who has most of his money
in
wherever, Cayman, Switzerland.
Mitt Romney and Bain do nothing different than what Obama did with the auto bailout. The
what?
Hang on a second. I don't. You mean saving jobs is the same as outsourcing jobs?
When
that's what you're
take
saying?
When you over a company that's going to fail, and you at least cut off parts of it, you employ some people while you reap the reward. But Bain took over companies that are collapsing, and everybody would
no, not in many cases not. He took over healthy companies, and all they cared about is him sucking the profit out.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And when
but you're rich, so I guarantee you that exactly what...
You guys are just as evil and selfish as I am, so I'm more moral.
Jim, is it me? Why do many of the right-wingers sound like Jim Carrey and Bruce Almighty?
And why don't they modulate? And why don't they modulate?
Because we're not French, that's why.
So they have to talk louder.
All right, speaking of people that need a Detroit rescue.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, we need to make one mention of a fine American communications guru posted this. Stephanie Miller fans angry at program change. This is in our Detroit.
That's right.
By the way, we're on many fine Clear Channel stations, including our flagship here in Los Angeles, AM 1150.
And Detroit's where Aretha Franklin, that's where Aretha Franklin comes to see you, me, and Aisha.
At our sold-out Sexy Liberal Show, thank you, at Detroit Opera House. He writes, fans of the popular liberal talk show host Stephanie Miller tuned in to WDTW 1310 AM at 9:06 Monday morning, expecting to hear Steph and the Mooks. They were first confused, disappointed, then angry to discover she'd been replaced by some middle-of-the-road guy. Station's Facebook page.
From what I hear,
it's
not all that middle of the road.
A little more right wing?
A little more right wing.
The station's Facebook page exploded with comments ranging. They will no longer listen to the station to questioning how the station can bill itself Detroit's progressive talk with no progressive talk. Mm-hmm. Actually, Steph didn't go away. She'll be heard from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Oh, great. That's it. Golden time slot.
This sounds very similar to what happened in January when Steph was replaced with right-wing psycho Glenn Beck on Green 960 in San Francisco. The ratings fell by 90% there. We'll see similar results here.
That's just good business.
Just FYI, not Bain Capital, one of the primary owners of Clear Channel.
Huh.
Not to say, I'm just saying, a lot of fine Clear Channel stations have my show in many fine time slots around the country. There's a couple of stations that are, you know... Steph has been a constant critic of the Mr. Big supporter of President Obama. Moving her to the graveyard shift makes no financial sense. Stephanie Miller, top-selling comedy album, top-grossing comedy tour. Please, don't draw attention to me.
Including to the graveyard,
selling out venues all over the country, including places there's no liberal talk stations. She also tripled current TV ratings in the short time the show's been broadcast there. Last month, Talkers Magazine, blah, 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 heavy 100. She's number 11 in the country. Whatever. Thank you, communications guru. I appreciate your fine Americanness. Who are they supposed to have? Hang on a second. You can go to, where is it, Chris?
1310wdtw.com to the Contact Us section.
Yes, and please.
And let them know how you feel.
Politely make your feelings known, won't you? Be the polite, Stephanie Miller Chipmunks. Don't be rude.
Right.
See you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
And do not threaten to give them haircuts.
No. You appear to have made some inadvertent errors in your programming.
Oh.
Here are some suggestions I have.
Some of them can be said on the radio.
So anyway, as our last callers, they have George Clooney and the fundraisers all their money for the cable. President Obama was here yesterday in Los Angeles. $15 million. I am giving the wrong kind of parties. I don't know what. He called his endorsement of marriage equality a logical extension of his vision for the country. Obviously, yesterday we made some news, he said. But the truth is, he's kept an understatement.
Oh, a little bit.
He said the truth is it was the logical extension of what America's supposed to be. It grew directly out of this difference in visions as we as a country that includes everybody and gives everybody a shot and treats everybody fairly. Earlier at a fundraiser in Seattle, he drew cheers for his line that Americans should be able to succeed no matter who we are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, no matter what your last name, no matter who you love. He noted, I didn't know this, that the famous Hope poster was originally from an image of he and George Clooney together. He said, this is the first time George Clooney has ever been photoshopped out of a picture. Never happened before, and never will happen again.
That's funny.
We even have funnier road signs here. I know, this is very close to where, I know exactly where the house is, in fact. We have even funnier road signs here in L.A. Heading to Clooney's house along the roads, families gathered at dinner to gawk, wave, and cheer the presidential motorcade. Children manned a lemonade stand with a sign that said, Presidents drink free.
Aw, that's cute.
Around the corner, a boy held up another sign that said, We'll trade Lakers for Bulls if you stop. And yet one more, our gay family says, Thanks, Mr. President.
Aw. Would you, would you?
Wow, we. Well, as you know, I used to try to climb the fence to, because they actually had the party on his basketball court, where I used to gawk at a shirtless George Clooney and his friends playing basketball.
Oh.
Like a squirrel. I was just up on the fence. I decided to skip this one because they had a Secret Service, LAPD, California Highway Patrol, a LAPD Special Counterterrorism Unit, and air support.
How'd you like to be his next-door neighbor?
Along with bomb-sniffing dogs, plainclothes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Laurel Canyon never has traffic on it. Boy, this. Oh, my God.
That must have been a breeze yesterday.
Oh.
I decided not to brave that gauntlet yesterday.
It sounds like a helicopter orgy.
Yeah, oh. Can you imagine being his next-door neighbor with all of that going on?
Yeah.
Can you keep
Thanks,
it down over there?
Makes my neighborhood look quiet.
Yeah.
All right. New future wife, Cher. Did you keep track of her Twitter fight?
With Mitt Romney. Yeah.
Romney's a douche. She slammed Romney and Paul Ryan in the same. She said, "Sorry, saw Ryan budget it. Flip me. These people don't care if children starve." And so then, of course, she got, you know, trolled by all the concerned trolls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, "Go yourself, you old." Just censored. Wow. I don't even know what.
Well, that's one way of convincing Cher that you're right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Cher wrote back, "Nice mouth. You learn that at church, gun show, or how to press your Klan costume class."
Yeah. Oh, Cher.
I think I can't tell if this is. I think Monica Crowley wrote.
Ouch. Dr. Monica Crowley.
Ouch! Bet you just lost half your fans. Cher said, "Thank God I got the half of thanks."
Go Cher.
Snap. Yeah. Take that, Tramp.
Wow.
You don't want to get in a war like that with Cher, because Cher will always win.
She'll stick the Almond Brothers
Cher
on you.
Cher will eat you up. I tell you what. Okay, let's go to Diane in Chicago. Hi, Diane.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I keep listening to, first of all, I applaud what you do.
Thank
Love
you.
The show. And I'm very proud that, you know, President Obama gave his opinion. And, you know, I'm so tired of hearing, you know, well, it was a bad thing to do, and he's going to lose his base, and, you know, the black churches or whatever. I've been in a black church all my life.
He just re-inspired his base.
One thing I can tell you is gay people are there. Nobody cares. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed,
I see gay people.
Well, that just proves it's a conspiracy.
By the way, John, I'm going to come out with a bumper sticker. Log Cabin Republicans. Really? Still? Seriously?
Why not cows for Burger King?
the log cabins, R. Clark Cooper, please and thank you, was quick to discredit Obama's announcement supporting. Really?
Yeah. That's kind of a douchey move.
Calling it cold comfort and offensive and callous.
It was
in the immediate wake of the North Carolina vote.
You know what? I know a lot of gays that it was very, very warm comfort for, so this guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Wow. You're saying that log cabin Republicans are being illogical?
This is exactly why it took courage to speak up when he did. They said, he said that the president has chosen today, when LGBT Americans are mourning the passage of Amendment 1, to finally speak up for marriage equality, is offensive and callous.
Huh?
That's why it actually took, I thought, amazing political courage.
Yeah.
LGBT Americans have a right to be angry that this is calculated announcement comes too late to be of any use to the people of North Carolina. He does not deserve praise for an announcement that comes a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, because that would have
helped
in North Carolina.
So you're going to continue to give your dollars and your time to people that hate you and want to take away all of your rights.
I mean, Steph, because we care about gays. Obama doesn't. That's why we're going to vote for a man who hates us.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, hey, a local Republican party's all gone all Ted Nugent on our ass. Of Greene County in Virginia, they published their monthly newsletter. In it, the editor suggests a armed revolution will be necessary if President Obama is reelected.
Armed revolution?
Yeah, they tried that once before. Didn't work out so well.
Wow.
I just have to say the editor's name because it's Punch McPhee.
It is not. You are lying to us and the audience.
He is the latest Virginian to threaten violence toward the president. Just this week, Christopher Hecker was charged with a felony for threatening to kill the president and other officials, as well as bomb landmarks along the East Coast. This is your Republican Party today.
Punch.
Punch.
McPhee.
Punch McPhee.
Punch McPhee.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
I bet he starts every sentence with, I'll tell you what. I'm just thinking.
I'll tell you what. I have an uncle who starts every sentence with, I'll tell you what.
Oh, boy.
And what they usually have to tell you, it's not good.
No.
It never ends well. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World in the closing moments of Fridays with Fuglesang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
That someone would like that to be a regular feature?
Yeah.
Reading Cher's tweets?
Yeah, your epicness wrote, Chris, can you please make Reading Cher's tweets a regular segment on the show? That was amazing.
Woo! Monica Crowley, Michelle Morgan, Tramp Thief, woo! Yeah.
Anchor Babies, Tramp Thief.
Exactly. Hey, this hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. We use it. We love it. You will, too. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days for our exclusive offer. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the try it free button. Plurn. And enter the promo code Stephanie. That's go to my PC. Enter Stephanie.
The tree at fry button.
Frown.
Remember,
named, I just
enter
named
Stephanie.
Another Romney kid.
Yeah.
Langer.
Mike in Iowa says, let me get this straight. Bristol Palin is not married, raising a child on her own, had a relationship with Levi, and is giving out advice on parenting and marriage? Yes.
Computer says, yeah.
Yes, paying attention.
I think the kids say, epic fail.
Is that what the kids are calling it? Tony in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing
good,
this morning?
Good, go ahead.
I think old Mitt Romney's a coward like most bullies. And he's just been apparent what he's done in Bain and Capitol, and even what he's trying to do now. He's just a bully.
Yes, sir.
Bully is a bully. Yep. Doesn't matter.
And can I point out, Satan's making a very special room in hell for all those conservative guys who really supported sending other guys to Vietnam but dodged service themselves.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney joins the Bush, Cheney, and Limbaugh and Gingrich Club.
All right, let's...
They're willing to fight for the last Negro. I like to say.
Jim.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. What's where all the bullies are.
Yeah.
Why, looky here. It's James Dobson. Focus on the
I
family.
I saved this for a day that John Fuglesang was here.
Oh, good. James Dobson, focus on the family radio.
Fair enough.
That's the guy we love.
I will be praying even harder about this upcoming election because there is so much at stake. Marriage must be maintained. It's been... in existence on every continent on Earth since the Garden of Eden, not just
they
in Christian countries, but wherever mankind has taken root, marriage, relationship between one man and one woman has been honored in law and in practice.
Nope. No.
Adam and Eve were never married. Has flourished in many places, in Rome, in Greece, in Sodom and Gomorrah.
You mean it's always been around, like naturally?
It has been relationships between one man and one woman, because we're made that way.
You haven't read the Old Testament, have you?
Personal comedy Jesus?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve never married. Find me who would have done it? Who performed it? The snake?
The snake.
He could talk.
The tree of knowledge.
Listen, here's the thing. Every society that's ever kept records in human civilization has documented same-sex relationships. Sane people say, here's a clear sign that being gay is natural and part of God's plan. Crazy people say, proof of conspiracy.
Except for the 60s in the United States of America at Cranbrook School.
Exactly.
Then there were no gays.
Okay. No, none at all. Just weird people we have to punish for being different.
Long hair.
Okay. Sean Hannity.
And zany hijinks.
Listen, this president successfully hid who he really was for the entire last election cycle.
So this is not surprising.
I think overall, in the country, this reinforces that he's radical left. No president has ever taken this position. And he was kind of put in a box because if he didn't do it, he's hiding his agenda, like what does he promise to Vladimir Putin and Medvedev?
Huh?
Isn't radical
nobody puts Barack in a box.
Wouldn't radical left be, hey, gay guys, have all the gay sex you want and you can never get married? Wouldn't that be the radical left point of view?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, hey, marriage, that seems pretty traditional conservative values.
Here's Gretchen Carlson on Fair and Balanced Fox.
President Obama makes history announcing his support for same-sex marriage, but is there tolerance for both sides, or is he demonizing those who disagree with him now? We're going to report, you can decide.
Oh, well, it seems like you may have already arrived at a conclusion of some sort.
Is he demonizing those who are demonizing gays? Is that what he's
saying? Yes, you demonizing people who demonize people.
It's sort of like the way people who were opposed to invading Iraq were demonized by Fox News.
That's right.
Yes. Let the demonizing begin. Todd Starnes on Fox News.
Look at what's happening in public schools. They're indoctrination centers. Yes. Boys and girls are having their views formulated on gay marriage through the public school system. Yes. And that's why it is becoming generational. This is not what kids are being taught at home. And that's why you're seeing, I think, this discrepancy. Younger people support gay marriage. Their parents and grandparents do not.
It's a conspiracy. That's why I'm talking in this stilted manner.
Rush Limbaugh.
So that you'll understand my point.
All
better.
Schools
Rush
are
Limbaugh.
Indoctrination academies.
Yeah.
Yes, Rush Limbaugh, who is on his fourth marriage?
Yep. Yeah.
So we're talking about gay marriage. We're sitting here, we're minding my own business, our own business. All of a sudden, they put gay marriage in our face for 3-4 straight days. I'm sorry, they're the ones that have introduced social issues. And it's perfectly understandable, then, isn't it, why they want us to shut up?
No, the far right in North Carolina introduced this amendment. So the far right is the one who put it in your fat face, Rush Limbaugh. Dear.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And what business were you minding in the Dominican Republic, if I may ask?
Whose business were you minding?
This is a man who uses hookers. This is a man who hates women. This is a man who hates gay people. And I hope his wife thinks about this every time the pulley system lowers Rush onto her.
Oh, dear.
And we finish with Megyn Kelly and John Bolton.
Yeah.
There's a summit. Sort of be taking a tougher approach with respect to Iran. Our vice president doesn't see it that way and made some news in the past couple of days when he said the following. We wanted to get your reaction, sir. Stand by.
But when we took office, let me remind you, there was virtually no international pressure on Iran.
You know, really, I think Vice President Biden should stick to gay marriage. The fact is there were successive Security Council resolutions, including after I left the job, imposing sanctions on Iran.
You could take 10 stories off John Bolton and
no one would notice a difference. No. And I'm telling you, we could have literally a Secretary of State John Bolton. If we had
Secretary
a president
building in New York has 38 stories. Mm-hmm. If you lost 10 stories today, it wouldn't make a bit of difference.
Yeah, that building is not the right height, apparently.
Now, just remember, our conservative brothers and sisters, when you attack politicians for supporting gay marriage, you attack Dick Cheney.
Yep. There you go. Exactly. Hmm. Won't someone stand up for the dick, really? All right. Kids,
get behind that dick.
Have a happy Mother's Day weekend. I want to say thanks again to Steve, who sent me a squirrel singing Walking on Sunshine. For Mother's Day.
That's so strange.
Yeah, that's really strange.
That's awesome. It's a great rodent.
Awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome.
And Mike
Thank
Huckabee
you.
Tried to eat it.
Tried to put it in his popcorn popper and cook it.
Yeah.
Okay. That is it for us. John Fugelsang and I will see you with Aisha Tyler tomorrow night in Minneapolis for Sexy Liberal. Tickets going fast. John is at the Barrymore tonight in Madison with his one-man show, Guilt, A Love Story.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, John Fugelsang. I'll
see you tomorrow.
I'll see y'all sexy ass tomorrow.
See y'all in Madison tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see you Monday back on the Stephanie Miller Show.